Oh, Ginger Snaps.
It's Eagle. It's an intro for Keeping It 99.
I didn't know I was going to say Ginger Snaps, but my daughter's around me, so I don't really want to cuss. Bastard Hooker's not going to be playing the show September 29th tomorrow. I'm recording this on Friday, September 28th. Due to unforeseen circumstances, what you going to do? I mean, life fucking happens. But I guarantee Bastard Hooker will be around sometime. Bobby Clark and Jesse Barracliffe and Tripp and Rich and Dylan or whoever. I don't know. I don't know who's in the band. It's a project. They're dope. They can't play. However, we do have Waste of Fucking White. Oh, I just cursed. I'm sure. And the party.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be jamming, dude. So you need to come down. It's going to be a real life battle of the bands. I'm talking thumbtacks. I'm talking barbed wire. I'm talking firecrackers. Steel cage. Steel chairs. Steel tables. Steely Dan. So I'm going to play you guys some Waste of White. And then we're going to play this episode where we have Jesse Barracliffe and we have Bob Clark. It was going to be out about a week ago, but due to the circumstances and stuff, I wasn't really sure if I should put out the episode. I couldn't really remember how much we talked about, oh, Bastard Hooker this or Bastard Hooker that. Even though those dudes, I mean, they are most notably in Fully Consumed. We do talk a bit about that. We talk just about a lot of things. It's kind of a true-to-form old-school episode of Keeping It 99. So check it out. It's a great time. I would have those dudes on the show every time if we could. They're just fucking awesome human beings. It's a great episode. We talk about the Insane Clown Posse. So if you're into heavy metal, I know you're going to fucking love that. Just cussed again. Fuck.
Try to get
from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Welcome to round two of Keeping It 99, part two of a 36-part mini-series with Jesse Barracliff, with Bob Clark, and of course, I'm Eagle, Rubber City Redbeard's here. That's right, they're back. Aww. We had so much fun, we didn't even scratch the surface. We're doing another one, and this time Torch is not here. Yeah. I asked them. I called
them. It's a lot more quiet in here.
It's a lot more.
Did you call them and you were like, hey, do you want to do that again? And they
were like, we're suing you.
Like, we heard it.
I told you, lawyer up, yo.
You guys are in trouble.
We had to do a part two. Like, we knew last week at the cookout that part two was coming.
For sure.
Yeah, but we had too much going on for part one.
Yeah, I'm rushed.
Yeah, and so the one question we didn't get to ask that I have to ask, is Crypt Kicker a good band?
You go first.
Well, I never had anything against them. I remember seeing them up at the flying trailer with some bands, and I remember seeing them thinking they were a force to contend with because they were, like, big guys. And but I didn't necessarily run and buy their album, let's say. If you're looking for a suck or not answer, I plead the fifth. I don't know.
We have a long running debate on this show where one of us, that's not me, is like, no, not a good band. And then there's me who's like,
compared to me, I didn't like them as much as other
bands. It's just generic to me. That's all.
It's
just
generic.
And, you know, Aaron's. I know.
World of Ghosts.
88.9.
I agree with Grant. Yeah. It's generic, but it's metal.
It is. It's metal, and it's like, you know,
they're doing it.
Like, look, when you listen to it, it's like, that's local. Yeah. It's like, you know, it sounds.
It does sound like local dads making, you know, some metal, right?
Bobby.
Yeah. Bobby's over here. Bobby Clark with his head in his hands.
Yeah. Since there's a 50-50 split, and Jesse wants to pretend he's agnostic about it. I'm going to say it's a hard no.
Oh, shit.
Hard no.
Wait, hard no that
they're
suck.
Good?
Yeah, they're not.
They're not good.
Suck?
They're
no,
not
they
good.
They don't suck. They're just
not good, though.
No.
Right. They're just like another metal band.
They're just like a local band.
Local metal band.
In any city.
So Bobby Clark agrees with me.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Totally.
Jesse also agrees with me. He just won't say it because he's
super
nice.
I think Jesse agrees with me, and he just doesn't want to be braggadocious about it.
No, Jesse doesn't like to be confrontational in any form or fashion. He likes to, you know.
But, I mean, I'm trying to be honest. Like, if I... Because I guess I don't know him well. Like, say if I was at a show, and I saw Crypt Kicker, and then I saw... I'm trying to think of another local band back in the day. Son of a bitch bastard.
Just say they're bad.
Exactly.
They're my favorite. Okay.
I'm telling you, if we ever do a festival, I'm booking them. They're on it.
They're not going to play.
No, to be honest.
Not after this.
To be fair and honest, I think a lot has to do, you got to give a little, I guess, backstory. Like, if you haven't seen a lot of bands, you know, and you haven't experienced a lot of bands or shows, you might be impressed. But
they were the first local band
that's my running joke, is that it's everybody's first local band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, though, do you remember the band Spawn?
Misled.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
Misled.
Because I
love Brian Tremley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Capri was always an awesome dude, and Shreds is an absolute killer guitar player. The drummer was really solid, and Ed was kind of a dick sometimes, but he was always cool with me and shit. Like, as a band, did I like their music? Not so much, but I loved all those dudes, and I always had a good time at their shows, and I was the only one at Spawn shows that was fucking people up on the floor, right? Like, I was the guy that when I would walk into a Spawn show and Tremley would see me, he'd be like, are you gonna fuck shit up? And yeah, just give me a second. And because they always drew out the polo shirt wearing, Budweiser drinking, khaki short above the knee, having kind of metal fans.
Yeah. I thought they were like the Nickelback of
metal
local band. Yeah, metal local band.
And I can't remember who their manager was. Like, their manager was like a big deal or something.
See,
people said.
The reason I asked that people said is because I kind of have the same feeling towards Spawn as I did Crypt Kicker. They're good at what they did, but I never liked Spawn. I was never like, oh yeah, let's go see Spawn. And I was the same way with Crypt Kicker. But when they were playing a show, I watched them, and
I
didn't have anything bad to say about them, but I didn't have anything good to say about them.
They were cool dudes, and I considered them friends, and I always supported them.
Yeah,
you know, is it a CD that I'd be like, man, I really wish I still had that disc, and I want to throw it in and listen to it? No.
Well, then say no. Okay. Well, then take away the whole you're friends with the band. Then do they suck or no?
They're way better than Crypt Kicker.
Okay, all right.
Whoa. musically, they're way better than Crypt Kicker. Like, Johnny is such a good fucking guitar player. Crypt Kicker didn't have fucking licks like them, dude.
They have chops like that.
Nope.
Wait, which one of those I know Brian was in 13 Faces.
Yes. They were in was Johnny.
So was Johnny.
Johnny was in it.
13 Faces was a good band. Taking your place, you better make me see you. Don't you fucking listen to me? They were good hardcore. They were a great
again. It was like, you know, you took some really good dudes from this band and then this fucking.
They were like a more pissed off hate breed.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I like that.
You know what would be awesome, man? Like, if we could pit fight or cage fight Rob Runt and Jamie Josta.
Oh, my God. Rob would tear that dude apart.
No, it would be awesome.
Rob would tear anybody apart.
Yeah, because Rob is actually like.
He's a pit bull.
He is that guy, and then Jamie Josta presents that guy. I don't think Jamie is as a legit.
Jamie Josta is not a threatening person. Like, you'd walk up and just snap a selfie with him, like, any day, just and without permission. Be like, hey, what's up? He'd be like, what's up, bro? Do the metal horns and shit. Yeah. Right away, you do that to Rob, he's going to fucking bite your face off.
Depending on what day you catch him on. Like, you could catch him on a day that he's like, yeah, dude, absolutely. And then you catch him on another day where he's mugging your face away.
Yeah.
Fuck away from me.
Rob Runt, I know you listen to the show, buddy. I want to see that happen. Rob Runt versus Jamie Josta.
We could sell tickets for that.
We could
That'd be so dope.
Pay-per-view.
Octagon. Rob Runt and Jamie Josta from Mapery. That'd be sweet. Facing what consumes you is the only way to be free. Release from those poisonous fears. I know where my money's at.
I'm sitting here trying to think of other singers that fight against each other.
Put Rob in the cage.
Rob Flynn.
Rob Flynn.
Rob Flynn and fucking Phil Anselmo.
Oh my! Well,
can we cage fight those two?
Rob Flynn wouldn't do it because he's probably like violence. Because is not the answer.
Because he would get beat up. Because
he became Mr. Social Justice Warrior of the heavy metal scene. I guess the Machine Head's heavy metal, right? Like, I mean,
they're metal.
They had the song.
They had that one song.
Then they were rap.
They had that one really good song.
They
didn't
rap.
The video was great.
Remember the spiky hair.
They really only had one song.
Machine Head.
I mean, everything else was kind of the same thing, and it wasn't very good. But that hook on Davidian.
I remember I was excited to see him at was it the Akron or the Rubber Bowl Ozfest?
Yeah, 98 Ozfest 98.
Yeah, Machine Head played that, right?
I can't remember if they did or not.
I went to like three of them. One at Blossom.
Snot, Tool, System of a Down.
Didn't Motorhead
was on the
play
second
that?
Stage.
System of a Down.
Maybe Melvins? Motorhead played that. Did Melvins play 98?
I think so.
And Motorhead, I think Motorhead was playing the same time as Tool, and like no one was over there.
Oh,
and I was like, I got to see Motorhead.
I was right down in front for Tool.
Of course,
Motorhead was there. Holy shit!
Yeah,
because that was when
I saw Tool, but then I'm like, I gotta go see Motorhead.
That was when Maynard came out dressed like a preacher with that white wig on, and then stripped down to his Scooby-Doo boxers.
Right on.
So maybe Machine Head was at the Blossom when I'm thinking of then. But it doesn't matter. I was excited to see him.
They were at Blossom. That was the first year, though. That was Machine Head.
But did Cold Chamber play on the second stage? And
I don't know.
God, see.
The year the Machine Head played.
I should have researched this.
It was like Machine Head, Fear Factory, Power Man 5000, Typo Negative, Pantera. It was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. Yeah. It was fucking awesome.
Meanwhile, I'm at Family Values Tour 98. I totally missed that.
Limp Bizkit, bro.
That was a cool one, though.
You love some Limp Bizkit.
Dude, yeah. Ice Cube.
I forgot he was on that.
One Band Orgy. I had that
Oh yeah,
one
Orgy.
Hit cover.
They
song.
Played the Outpost.
Was Primus on that tour? Or was that like the second one?
I think it was second or third. Yeah. Yeah, I actually I know.
Yeah, the Family Values is 98. That's who I remember. That's who it was. Like, but I remember the Rammstein. That totally flipped everybody fuck out. That's
their live show's amazing.
Yeah, because well, they came out. I never heard of
the big fake wiener.
Yeah,
all dude, that's what fucked everybody up because they're doing this shit, and then he takes that keyboard player, looks like he smokes
on a
much
leash.
Crack, and he's got AIDS and shit. He's real skinny. Fucking yeah, has him on a leash. He walks back and forth, and it's all in German. No one knows what the fuck
right.
said or going on. And
like this is normal for Germany.
I mean, everybody was pumped up like when he came out on fire and shit, and you know. It was awesome, but dude, it got so awkward. Like after he did that fucking thing and walked in, then he like had the Mickey Mouse fucking ass flap unbuttoned.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then he pulls out this big dick, and everyone's like, "I'm looking at everyone else
he's
in the crowd."
Fuck him.
Yeah, it's like, "Is he gonna stick it in? Is he gonna stick it in?" And fucking yeah, and he starts smacking him on his ass with.
I don't think
dick.
Everybody was.
And then,
this.
And then he and then he has fucking jizz, dude, spraying about 20 feet.
Yeah,
like, and everyone's like. Mortified, like I'm looking at the crowd and everyone's like jaws fucking just dropped.
They were catching.
And then
the
after that song ended, everything else was roar and it was like fucking silence. Like everyone, there was a few like claps, like golf claps.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, no one knew what the fucking how to react to that shit.
It was like I've only seen Rammstein once, and that was at
Nautica. That was
Soulfly.
Yep.
Mushroomhead opened up that show.
I did
security
for that show.
Mushroomhead. That was. I remember when he whipped out, he did the dick thing, whip out there, and 100%. I became a metal snob right away. I was like, I've seen Gwar like 5 times. This isn't shit.
I remember thinking that too, but I think I was a little more, with Rammstein, it was too realistic. Whereas Gwar, it's like you expect a big giant cock shooting semen out. You know, like that's again, Gwar.
Space semen.
Yeah, dude, he kept everyone suspense. He's going to stick in his ass? Oh my God. Like
that's like where everybody's brain went too. Like, is he going to put it in him?
The real question was he going to enjoy it?
No, he looked at the dude. He definitely looked like he enjoyed it. The motherfucker was on a leash walking around.
I know
is
I hit him.
He was his little gimp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did security for that Soulfly show. And that was when Max Cavalera had his 12-year-old stepson come out and sang with him.
You remember? Do you remember Max being mad at Metallica because that was the trend at the time after Pantera did the Southern Trend Kill?
That everybody was mad at Metallica.
He was just like, Metallica fucking sold out, Load sucks. Which he was right. But Max Cavalera did like a whole thing where he's like, fuck the Metallica! You remember that? And I was like, wow, Max is jumping, because like that dude jumped into nu metal real quick.
Yeah.
I love me some Sepultura. I love most of the shit Max Cavalera does.
Yep.
Soulfly was kind of silly when I look back.
It still is kind of silly. I enjoyed it, you know? Yeah, I seen it live, second stage, Ozfest, one of them years.
Yeah. I mean, he's Max Cavalera.
Boom, ba, boom, ba. You know?
They made Chaos AD. I can't be mad at that guy.
Yeah. Well, shits, they were badass. Like, Beneath the Remains, that's when they were, like, really good. Like, holy shit. Probably my favorite album from them.
Yeah.
I had to go back.
Oh, yeah, they were really fucking good.
I found out about them at Roots, I think. And then
Beneath the Remains, they were like.
Because then, well, no, I.
Fuck
trust
Metallica.
Me,
you heard Beneath the Remains, you're like, fuck Metallica. Like,
I have a couple.
It was that old. I think they just did it better, man. They were
some of their original
killing
pressing,
it.
Really. They're worth a lot of money.
What, the old Sepultura?
Yeah. But back then, though,
Sepultura.
Like 97 to 90, I mean, I was such a fanboy of anything. You know what I mean? Like, I went to Ozfest. I don't care who was playing. I'm going to be watching them, and I'm going to like them. And I remember they would put out those Ozfest compilations, and I would just listen to them all
over. Find them all
over
the ground
again.
Everywhere.
Yeah, and I was like, I love this band, and I love this band. And I don't even know why. Like, Seven Dust, I was like...
That's like how I learned about Taproot.
Yeah,
Taproot. Was from one of them compilation CDs and shit.
I forgot about that band.
I believe Taproot played a show with Fistula. Opening up,
what?
The LP, swear to God.
Holy shit.
I think it was like the first time I ever heard of Fistula because I was like, that does not seem like a thing that should be together. Yeah. Fistula and Taproot.
Yeah. They shouldn't.
Not at all.
They definitely should not.
I remember seeing Fistula way back in the day. The band, you remember Crisis? With Karen Crisis?
Yeah,
was playing at the Flying Machine. And it was them and they opened a bunch of locals, like I think it was Intent to Distribute, played.
Oh, shit.
And then this band called Corn Fed. And the singer was Barkus. I didn't know him at the time. They went up, and he just remembers, he's like, we're from Litchfield, Ohio. Corn fed. And it was just still in her fucking doom metal. Anyway, so the show happened, all that stuff. Years later, I run into this Barkus, start talking to him at this party randomly. And we end up talking about metal and stuff. And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, I used to do vocals in Fistula. He's like, when I started, we were called Corn Fed. I said, that was you? But yeah, apparently, and I don't know, I apologize if you guys didn't want anyone to know this, but yeah, Fistula was originally named Corn Fed.
I didn't know that.
Shit.
Yeah. And no, I don't know, history right now. I don't know if it's because they didn't have a name yet and he just made something up. I don't know the exact story. We'll have to get some answers on that, but and it could be a complete fucking lie for all I know. But I can call somebody. Yeah, was yeah, I just because I remember Corn Fed. I remember being heavy as balls, but then I never heard of him again. And then, yeah, I ended up finding out that I think that was the original Fistula. So that's some local history that hopefully is true.
Oh, shit.
I don't remember.
What's,
Fistula does our opening theme song for this show. You call him Bing?
We call him Buddy.
Oh, okay.
Buddy, let's see if Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy might know. Hey, Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy, you're on Keep It at 99 right now, dude. What are you doing? So we were sitting here talking about we don't know that if you might know the history of Fistula, the ancient history of Fistula, but apparently Fistula's name before Fistula was Corn Fed. Is this correct?
I have no idea.
Do you know? We need to get a hold of Bing. Where's Bing?
This is very important.
Bing is probably in Medina at home.
All right. Well, text me his number and I'm gonna call him.
I think his phone shut off.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're fucking poor musicians, bro.
All right, well, see if you can find out an answer to that and get a hold of me and let me know.
Yeah, Corn Fed.
Corn Fed. And a guy named Barkus used to sing.
Yeah, years
Barkus
ago.
Did sing.
Yeah, see? Okay.
Barkus, Steve Barkus.
Steve.
He sang on the Goat record.
Okay.
And I think he sang on couple other.
Yeah, he was the one that was saying that the band was named Corn Fed before it was Fistula.
I don't know about that. I know that Corey and Bob did the whole Ultra Lord thing, which is
right.
You know,
but that was after Fistula was already Fistula.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that was like a whole. They did that to do like distance himself from Shady. But,
Slim Shady? I would too, dude. That fucking dude's throwing out some hot beef tracks.
Why is something going on with Slim Shady? am I missing something?
Right on. Well, see if you can maybe get a hold of Bob or somebody and then just text me and let me know if Corn Fed was actually a thing.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Thanks, bud.
All right, bro.
Yep. Later.
I love that, man.
Good old Buddy
Peel. It seems like the story stands up.
It has some substance.
Corn Fed.
Yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
I think it sounds familiar.
It makes sense that Corey looks Corn Fed.
Like years ago.
Well, it makes sense because what was funny is how they announced they were from Litchfield, Ohio. Everyone's like, where the fuck is that? It's like in the middle of nowhere, you know? So, anyway, I thought that was an interesting thing.
Buddy just informed me. Fistula was indeed called Corn Fed, confirmed by Mr. Bing himself.
Who is the creator and sole proprietor of the band Fistula.
Yeah.
Just
to
throw that out there.
That's from the main guy.
So let's just reiterate.
I'm sure me and Corey had a conversation.
Jesse Barrowcliff was correct. I need a gold star.
That's first for everything, ladies.
Now I'm curious as to how Buddy got a hold of him so fast if his phone was turned off.
Facebook, yeah.
He said he thinks.
You can message him.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi. Message Bing on the Facebook Messenger all the time. Mm-hmm.
Does Bing have Facebook Messenger, though?
He does. We have lots of conversations.
I haven't talked to him in a while.
I still don't understand why Bing's nice to me. It never makes sense.
He's the nicest guy.
Yeah, you're awesome. Yeah, Bing's awesome.
The first time I ever met him, it scared the shit out of me. I was living with this couple, and I was sleeping on the couch after work, and this dude Brian wakes me up, and he's like, "Hey, somebody's here wants to meet you." And I was like, wants to meet me. And I look up and I see Corey Bing from Fistula. And I was like, oh shit. Because I did new metal shit, like rappy dappy shit. And I was like, that's the dude from Fistula. I'm rappy dappy kid with like orange hair and shit. And I was like, oh fuck, is he here to kill me? Like, I do not get why. And he's like, what's up, dude? How's it going? I love your shit. And I was like, no, you don't. This is I still think it's a 20-year prank, right? Like, I'm like, one of these days he's just going to beat my ass. Be like, don't ever fucking bring false metal to this world again, you motherfucker. But he was super fucking nice. Gave me a t-shirt. He's like, got a shirt for you. And I was like, what? Why? Ever since, I've just been one of my best buddies in the world. Super nice guy. Don't understand it.
I bet you I could have been in Fistula. Because I could have done it. I think Corey gave me the opportunity. But what it was, well, wait a minute. So you're going to, like, tour the world all the time, right? Yeah. I can't do it. I've missed so many opportunities because of that where I'm like, well, I want to do all this stuff, but I can't because I'm a fucking pussy.
That's what happens when you shoot loads into chicks, man.
That's what
kids.
Happens,
locks,
right?
It locks you down to Ohio.
But I love my children. I just want to throw that out there.
Buddy, you know, because you didn't take that fucking gig, that Buddy gets to play, like, Budapest Hungary.
I know, that's awesome, mm-hmm. though. If anyone, shit, that's coming all up. The people in the world to be able to do that, Buddy is the one person I would have picked. Actually, I wouldn't have picked him because he did not play
anything.
Guitar, but
anything! He didn't play anything!
But he's, like, perfect. And he's so good now. It's like, how the fuck did that happen? I love that guy.
He hates, like, all the stuff that they hate. You know what I mean? Like he's a perfect fit for Fistula.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Burns might still be a little bitter. Yeah, I don't know for sure.
It kind of just made sense because it was like, well, instead of trying to find a bass player, because that's what they always did. Like mm-hmm. a bass player, like why don't we just find one of our friends that we like,
are super fucking cool
yeah,
with and
love,
get along
and
with.
Just,
yeah.
And he's like, well, yeah. I'd like to learn how to play bass. And he did.
And
he
fits the aesthetic of the band perfect. Like, I've seen their band photos. I'm like, he fits right the fuck in. Like, right. It just looks like...
Yeah, he looks like he's been there for 20 years.
In a bar. Yeah.
That's just crazy.
I'd be smiling.
See Buddy in a band.
Well, and how fast he picked it up. But he's like that with pretty much everything. Like, Buddy's the type of dude who can figure out puzzles and shit. You know what I mean? Like, he likes to figure things out and have a challenge. And that's... It was just another challenge for him. He's like,
yeah, and
I'll
he's
learn
really
it.
Only got to learn those songs. You know, it's not like he's...
Well, because I'll ask him, I'll be like, hey, can you play this song? And he was like, I can't. I don't play anything but our stuff and stuff. I was like, so you're a bass player, but you can't play, like, some fucking Sabbath? Can't bust out some Sabbath? He's like, I can't. I don't
know.
Like,
I can play Smoke Acid.
He's like, I have...
You can, if he wants to, but
he hasn't learned it. Yeah, he was like, I know, you know, it's all this stuff. I don't need to learn anything else because I got this stuff. So.
Speaking of, I feel like I'm talking a lot, but when you mentioned Burns, so I did a couple projects that didn't go anywhere with Burns, and I remember one of the things, I think it was for, I don't know, it was talking about like a black metal or some sort of band, and he was saying that I just didn't have the look for it. I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, he's like, because you have to either have really long hair and, like, dark black hair, or, like, you have to be shaved, like, bald and like, just in tattoos on your face. And I was like, well, I mean, I guess that's true. But then that's when I was kind of, I was never big into the visual, you know, thing. But then, but it is funny because I remember their last Fistula picture. I saw on the same thing. I'm like, Jesus, God. I think I left a comment like, I'd love to invite you gentlemen to a dinner party. And but then I was like, if that were me, I'm sure I'd show up for the photo shoot with like my tie-dyed Rod Stewart shirt.
You'd
like, hey, guys! Like, 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 I got the new Bootsy Collins bass. Like, just, like, get the fuck out of here. So
did
funny,
you really
the perfect...
buy the fucking new Bootsy Collins
no.
bass? You have that?
If I was in Fistula, I would.
Is it clear Lucite?
I think so. No, I don't.
Bet that it is.
I think everybody's had some kind of run in with Burns as far as doing something.
Oh, he was, I mean, he definitely.
Because he knows everybody. Yeah. Like, he knows every fucking mm-hmm. body.
Like, yeah.
In like every state. Like, Burns knows somebody in every state mm-hmm. in a band somewhere. Like, he's the most well known person.
Yes.
He was a whore.
Yeah.
When it came, he's a bit of a band / people whore. Yeah. And got around.
I remember we did a project. I don't even know if we call it that, but you remember Jeremy Wilson?
Yeah.
He used to drum for
yes.
My Accident? Was that
yes.
Band?
Yeah, we yeah. just talked about this the other day
and
in the barn at work.
Yeah. Was that the guy, same guy in Brouhaha?
Yes. Yeah.
That was
yeah,
funny.
Exactly.
Brouhaha was good. By Accident was
awful.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because the one project was me, Burns, and Jeremy. And then
that's what it might have been the same. That's what it was going to be. I was supposed to sing for him.
Yeah, and what was funny is I played too much. Like when we were playing, we jammed.
Was that
me
and you?
He's like,
then?
You need to settle down. He's like, you're playing too many notes.
Yeah, it must have been like, the thing you're talking about.
I can't play all those notes.
Dude, I don't remember you being there. But
I just went there like twice.
Yeah.
I don't think I was there with you.
Really?
No, because Slough was there. Slough.
Chris Slough.
Oh,
yeah.
Slough was?
Slauerkraut.
Yeah, and I think I jammed twice, and I basically was like, dude, I can't do this.
It was like, it was called Our Lady of the Perpetual Misery or something like that.
I did like the first couple jams before there was a name. And
I think that was, well, maybe,
it was
too
simplistic.
I remember it was just us three up there at that Sid, what is it called?
Some jam place in
Arizona. Yeah, jam place up in Cleveland. That's where I was.
Oh, where all the...
yeah, what they call that? Studio City?
Rock and Roll City or whatever.
Oh, that's when they moved up there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just jammed a couple times and I realized that I think it was a little too simplified for me and I didn't have the look. But he didn't tell me that for that project.
He's got the look.
Yeah, because that's where Brouhaha fucking practice was up there. And you'd go into that fucking...
Yeah.
It was like a big giant warehouse and it just had a bunch of fucking rooms with like
a
thousand bands
right
in there.
Next to... what's that big band from Cleveland?
Chimera?
Yeah.
Yeah, they played
right, we were right next or across the hall or something.
Which, by the way...
From them guys.
Chimera, bass player... The bass player?
Yeah, the bass player from Camaro.
I forget his name. He owns a barbershop in Medina now. Siddell's Barbershop. I went there and got a haircut, talked to him a while.
I seen an article somewhere?
Yeah, it was...
About that?
I know it was in the Gazette, but yeah, and it's awesome because I was in there for like an hour, and this whole time he was just telling stories about tours and going here and playing in his band and all this stuff, and the next day was when Slayer was playing in Blossom. He's like, yeah, I'm picking up the guy from Lamb of God and bringing him back here to give him a haircut, and I'm going to get pizzas, and I got 7 VIP passes to Slayer. I'm like, you son of a bitch. But yeah, he's if you ever want to go bullshit with a guy, he's has a barbershop here in Medina. I can't remember his name.
I'm not driving to Medina to get my beard trimmed.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Fucking half an hour drive.
This helps confirm that Khmer is a real band, because... for some reason, we talk a lot about Northeast Ohio metal on this show, and Grant and I, like, we just don't remember.
It fucking went right over our heads.
Somehow.
You have
somehow
no
we're
idea.
Like the only two people, too. We're the only two. Because
everybody else is like, how'd you not hear a Chimera? And I'm like, listen to me, motherfucker.
They start listing off songs to me, like, you know this one and this one. I'm like,
nothing.
I never fucking
are you the
saw
same,
them
the same
or
way?
Heard
yeah.
them
yeah,
ever.
Same way. Like,
and they practiced like right across. I just like, oh, there's another band. There's hundreds of bands in there. Seemed.
Oh yeah,
it was like tons of bands.
It was like a dorm.
Yeah, of bands.
Of bands.
By the way, Jim Lamarca.
And then I mean, they got popular, but I still never knew anything.
Jim Lamarca, what's his name?
Jim Lamarca.
Jim Lamarca.
Sorry, Jim, for not remembering your name.
I know that name better than I know Khmer, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I never got into
nicest
them. I never heard, I can't tell you one riff, one song.
I never knew they were a band until they toured with Slayer.
Yeah, and then everybody's like, Cleveland Metal, and I'm like,
no,
I've been to every fucking Cleveland Metal band in the world.
Two,
like,
three shows a week for years, dude. For years. That's what we did. It was shows.
Yeah.
All the time.
I actually seen Khmer once. But I don't...
Still don't know who they were.
Yeah, I don't remember the show, or... Like, I wouldn't... They must not have
yeah, I remember
had
hearing
my attention
them,
at all.
But
like,
it was the same thing. I was like, I don't remember ever seeing them locally.
They had two singers, though, right?
I think they just had the one.
Yeah.
I thought they had two.
That Mark dude.
I have no idea.
Maybe at one point.
I don't know.
Because I think when they were on Roadrunner...
I know
the
intimate history of Fistula from Litchfield, but I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I was never a proponent of two singers.
I mean,
which
you know.
Is the irony of it is because I joined Caligo.
Right.
And Tyler was a part of the band. And that was really strange, but I was just like, eh, you know, I'll try it out, you know. The shiny side, music
of drama, so we can still get down. You know who does two singers really, really well and actually kind of changed my opinion on it is The Party.
Yeah.
Like, The Party, for some, like, first time I saw them, I was like, they need to have two singers because they're The Party. It's The Party. If it's just one guy going, I'm coming to party, the fact that it's two up there, and Spud and Mike, like, they're fucking, like, they, I mean, they both scream. Mike does more of the singing shit.
But, the singing and, like, the sick high growls.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
I mean? Like,
yeah, they have different pitches.
Yeah, his highs are kind of disgusting. And then, Spud's lows are fucking awesome.
And also, like, their stage presence, too, really, it plays off of each other really well.
They're The Party, dude.
They're The Party. They're playing with Bastard Hooker.
I know.
September 29th.
I'm very excited.
At the Annabelle's in Akron on West Market Street.
Yeah. Well, you want to play a party song right now? I mean, I know we've played probably the entire first album.
I think everybody's pretty much heard a lot.
Can I click my finger and the song will start playing?
Do it.
Okay, here we go. This is Jesse Barrowcliffe. Here's the party. Wait. Edited for that first click out. Yeah.
Officially the most played band. We've played their entire first record on this show over the course of time. We're gonna
People have to wonder if they're paying us,
right?
Because we talk about them so much.
They're a sponsor of the show, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've told Grant before. I was like, I want us to be like the WWF in the 1980s, and they're the Hulk Hogan. Like, we just got to book them constantly, just
all
put
the
them
time.
Over, just constantly. They're the Hulk Hogan of this show. I love that fucking band. Yeah. One day we're going to get them on, but we can't do a show with them without having, like, all of them, and Grant thinks that we need an Uber. He's like, if we're going to do it, we have to do it right.
I'm just glad to be on the show finally. Like, I heard people come up to me and be like, hey, I heard them talking about you on that Keeping It 99. I'm like, well, you know, what?
All the
what
time?
Are they talking about? Like, I don't... I was like, I ain't doing nothing. Like, what are they talking
about? I didn't do anything. I think that's a lot of what we talk about. We're like, why the fuck isn't Bobby Clark doing something? We have to talk about Machine Head.
I can explain to you why Bobby Clark's not doing anything. Two words. Matt Boehner.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Matt. No one likes to be the scapegoat. But.
Followed by the obligatory, we still love you, Matt.
We were talking earlier. You guys were telling me about possibly the worst show you ever played.
Oh, my Lord.
You guys have a long history of playing shows together, and there has to be a worst for everybody.
I mean, 20 years now, right?
Yeah, no, this was, okay, we're playing a show with by accident, actually.
Oh, wow. Is this the trap store? Is this the trap store?
No, not trapped. It was Synaptic.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was Dan Kogar and Orlando Rich and me and Bob. We were playing a show with Peabody's.
Yeah.
It was the second Peabody's, not the old
Peabody's. Yeah, the new one.
The one that doesn't exist, but anyway. And it was a bunch of bands, and we were on the main stage, and it was early. It was like a fest kind of thing. And I know earlier in the last show we talked about how Dan had a different way of writing. He wasn't the best guitar player in the world, but basically with
some would say he wasn't a guitar player in the world.
And so me and Orlando kind of would solidify the songs around him, mm-hmm. and then kind of just so we had like songs that they were the same every time, but Dan kind of just followed us. Like if he missed a change or something like that, it was. Nobody cared because we were just kind of going with the flow. Well, this was like the absolute worst. I was so unprofessional, and we get there, get all my shit up there, and a lot of like Synaptic. I did a lot of fun, funky stuff in there, but the majority of it was like top string, E string, heavy. You know,
slapping or finger tapping.
No, not tapping, but it was very heavy, low end driven. So I did a lot of stuff on my E string or drop D string. And then did a couple little noodles here and there. Okay, we're all set up. We start playing the very second note. My E string fucking breaks because I used to beat the shit out of my bass. Like what I would play in this band and immediately breaks. I was like, oh, so we stop, and I'm like, shit, my string broke, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't have any fucking strings. I didn't bring any strings with me. Like, the simplest thing to do at a show, and I didn't. So, immediately, I'm like, oh, motherfucker, what am I going to do? So, I tried to hurry up and, like, tune down my, like, other strings, and then I was like, let's try. We tried to play, like, the next song. It was the same song, right? And it wasn't coming through. I couldn't get it, and then Dan was just all over the place because he couldn't hear me. So, I stopped. I'm like, all right, hold on. And I jumped off stage and I ran around at like every bass player that was there. And I'm like, dude, do you have an extra string? Can I take it? No, sorry, man, we don't have it. Which I know those assholes did. Yeah. But they were like, fuck this. Like, well, why would I give you a string? And so I went around and all this shit. And I almost had a mental breakdown. I was like, guy, I walked up to the stage. I said, I don't have a fucking string. I go, I can't do it. I can't play the fucking show. I'm so sorry. I can't play the show. And I was destroyed. And so then I was like, so I guess we're done. Dan decides, no, we'll just do it. We'll just play the show without you.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh. So, I'm sure that sounded good.
No, well, I think it's an important thing you missed. We get up there. I think we tried to play one song four or five different times.
Hold on. Because I was gone before that point. My string broke.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to play it a second time, and I put my hands up, and they stopped. And I was like, that's when I was done. I said, guys, I can't do this. And they're like, well, let's just play without them. And that's when they started the song again. And the reason that they couldn't get through the fucking song is because Dan couldn't do it by himself.
Right.
He could not do it. So they would start the song, and Orlando would stop and be like, dude, what are you doing?
What are you playing? What are you fucking playing? No one knew what the fuck was going on, dude.
And I just
fucking... Like, I knew these songs. I'm sitting there waiting to hear, like... And I'm so like, what are these motherfuckers
and I just
doing?
Left. I left. I went out the front and I went and sat in the band. Because I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed that my band couldn't play the show without me. And that I couldn't... And first of all, I fucked it up and didn't have a string and I wasn't there. And then listening to this awful...
Train wreck.
It was the worst, dude. I had the microphone, you know? So I'm sitting there, like... we're just messing with you. That was just a practice thing. I didn't know what to fucking do.
I was gone at that point.
He was gone. And, dude, we just kept trying. I think we tried to play one song. Like, usually this happens. Like, if you're having trouble with a song, you know, you fuck up. And you try to do it again, you can't do it. You move to the next song.
Right.
We had it, like, five fucking times.
I think they tried to start that song. I don't know.
They tried to start that song. Five fucking times. And I'm sitting there just like... I just wanted to die because I had to fucking talk to these people like, thank you! Yeah. Like, every time I'm like, thank you!
There was
like,
a lot of people there. And then afterwards, because then I didn't see the train wreck after. I just knew it was going to be bad.
And it was terrible.
And I was so destroyed. And then when they finally came out and Dan was like saying, yeah, he's like, or not, maybe you were telling me, like, Dan would keep playing and Orlando would stop and get all mad, but then Dan would just try to... So then, at one point, wasn't it just Dan trying to play the song by himself without Orlando or you, and people were like, what? And
it was... Oh, it was the worst, dude. It was like a joke. Everyone was like, is this fucking, like, real?
Honestly,
like,
everyone thought that it was a joke. It was.
It could have been. Like, that's what we should turn it into. We should turn it into a fucking comedy bit.
Yeah, well, I was saying, you guys were like a band... Like, if a band were Andy Kaufman.
Yes.
But not on purpose. And like, so of course I blame myself for it because I...
you should.
I should. But then afterwards I go, but really? They couldn't do it without me? Nope. Like, I was like, well... And then I was just embarrassed that Dan couldn't do that. And I kind of, you know...
Yeah, they were playing. I didn't know what the fuck they were playing. Like, neither of them were playing...
They just started having a freestyle jam session.
That's exactly. Yeah. And I'm like,
which you can't do that.
Yeah, and so I just stood there and was looking at him like,
Dan is like fucking classic fake it till you make it, though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, like I said, and that was
kind of... It was so bad you couldn't even do
that. That was the appeal of Synaptic. But it never came up. It was just like, yeah, Dan will play me in Orlando and Bob will fucking make it sound cool. And then I didn't realize, take one of those pieces out and it's just going to collapse.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it literally did in front of a lot of people.
How many people were there when that happened?
A lot.
I don't know. It
was about 7 o'clock, something like that. It wasn't like early afternoon.
I don't know.
But yeah, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't packed. All I know is after by the time I was walking out, and a lot of other people were going in other directions. I don't think there was too many people sticking around.
Well, still, I mean, considering like the other shows we did, it was pretty big, like a big crowd. But that it was a nightmare.
I would have to say that show was like the my.
It doesn't surprise me that your guys's worst show out of a 20-year fucking friendship/music relationship had Kogar in it. That does not surprise me one fucking bit.
Dude.
But I mean, I started rethinking my fucking life choices after that because I was like, I need to join a band that, like, I don't know, maybe the guitar player can
play
a guitar. And so then,
I think you did well after that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found some people that were really good. Actually, that's all I did after that, was just find musicians that were way better than me and glom onto them. I was the Dan Kogar in all my other bands, so no. Nah. What was our best show?
What?
I said, what was our best show? We got to end this on a good note.
Yeah, what was your favorite show?
I only noticed the bad ones.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of...
Like a true death metal singer.
Yeah, we had a lot of good, great shows. I mean, I like playing in Kent at that, was it Fat Jimmy's or whatever that place was?
The one that's down in the basement?
Oh, yeah. I remember my second nightmare show was my first show at Cleo.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm going to hear this.
Yeah, it was a nightmare because I just joined the band. You know, they were like, hey, you know, you want to sing for Cleo? And I thought about it. I was like, sure, you know, because I've seen them before, and I wasn't like, I didn't know any other song. Like, I wasn't a fan or anything. But I was like, okay. And they're like, cool. We got a show with Mushroomhead in 2 weeks. And I was like, what? I was like, well, okay. Give me some stuff. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
What
so,
am I doing?
Yeah, so I went over and got, you know, everything, and they said, you know, I figured out what vocal parts I'm doing. Because, mind you, it's two singers, so I got to figure out what I'm doing, you know, my vocal parts and all that stuff. And, like, cool. And it was the Mushroomhead Christmas show at the Agora.
Okay.
So there's fucking...
It's packed.
Yeah, it's insane. So, they had the most fucked up setup at the Agora. They had the main stage. They didn't do like the ballroom and then the theater. You know what I mean? It was just the theater. But for the opening acts, they fucking split the stage in two. There was two stages on one stage. Right.
Yeah, I've been in that situation where it's like a thing, like a line of tape almost.
Yeah.
Where one band setting up on the one right side.
Yeah. So
while the other side's playing.
Yeah. That's actually how I met JC. Was we did like our first shows together ever at the Agora. We had to play on the main stage.
Left side, right side.
Yeah. It was left. They were on the left and we were on the right, and so they're setting up, or we're setting up as they're playing, and we're just like out there in the open as they're playing, like trying to get our shit together. It was so weird.
Yeah, that would be weird.
So it's my first show. you know, I'm like, okay, cool. I think I got everything, you know, down in the couple weeks I had. So we get up there. I can't remember, you know, who we went on before or after, but they had that split stage, right? So we get up, and we are all ready to go, because it's kind of like bang, 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 bang. So we get up, and they start playing, and, you know, they're going. I'm doing my thing, and I can't hear Tyler at all. Like, no Tyler. And I'm looking over to see, you know, if he's dead or what the fuck's going on. I look over, and he's screaming and stuff, but nothing's coming out. Here, he fucking grabbed the mic from the wrong stage.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and it took, I don't know how long it took to figure out, but I'm sitting there, I only had 2 weeks, so all that focused on was I had to learn, so I couldn't
cover for him.
Yeah, I could not cover for him, because, you know, I was just like, so, yeah, it was just weird, you know what I mean? Because it was just like awkward pauses, you know, and then there was that all back and forth vocal thing right. that they did, that we just, did, that was just like me going, you know what I mean? And it reminded you, this is like thousands of fucking people, dude, and this thing. And I was just like, and so I was just mortified. Like, I remember feeling like shit, because I'm like, fuck, you know, goddamn right. it.
I mean, the time that you don't want that to happen is in front of a couple thousand.
Yeah. Which, that, by the way, that by accident show, there was not a couple thousand. It was a couple hundred. Man.
No, and that's the thing, is I was, it just made everything weird for me, because I kind of learned, you know, how to play off of his vocals, so they weren't there, mm-hmm. you know, and it wasn't like the monitors were very good, and I said, it was just new to me, and it was just like, oh, but yeah,
so you Dan Kogar of Caligo.
Oh, come on.
Wasn't Dan Kogar the Dan Kogar of Caligo?
Dan, if you're listening, I want my tapes.
That was before me.
Dan, if you're listening, there's like 68 people that want like $12,000 that you stole from.
I want my money.
Yeah, Eagle's one of them. Look at that.
Hey, you owe me $250.
This cocksucker.
Bastard.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Ronald McDonald didn't walk on Coca-Cola so you could drink water. No, he did not. And Ronald McDonald didn't feed the multitudes with 5 sesame seed buns and 2 100% pure Angus beef patties so you can eat salads for lunch. Ronald McDonald died on the cross for good times and great taste, not for you to worship false Burger Kings. Now can I get it? I'm loving it.
So since you guys are two death metal dudes, I have to bring this up. You guys are the perfect people to ask about this. How do you feel about all the rap battles going on nowadays?
I love it.
I'll let Bob answer.
I love it. It just reminds me of when I was growing up in the 90s, you know, with like Dre and Eazy-E.
Oh, the East Coast, West Coast.
Like, yeah. I loved it because, you know, it was just...
The Dre Eazy-E shit was the funniest that ever happened.
That's how I became an Eazy-E fan, because I didn't like Dr. Dre when I was a kid. I felt like Dr. Dre made a lot of my friends turn gangster on me in the sixth grade. And I was just like, why are like these kids just like being mean as fuck to me and shit? And then I thought Eazy-E was, I seriously thought he was like a parody artist because he had the curl, the Jerry curl shit going on. I thought he was like a comedian rapper just making fun of Dr. Dre for no, I didn't know anything about NWA.
NWA,
like,
yeah.
And so I was just like, I heard real motherfucking G's, and I still to this day know every line to that fucking song.
Because
I was like, yeah, he's making fun of Dr. Dre. And then I realized, I was like, oh, this is like, that's like a real, I mean, as real as you can be, I guess. Like, that was a real beef. And then Ice Cube's No Vaseline was part of the whole fray. Because mm-hmm. Ice Cube, I mean, that guy was hard. He was hard for a minute.
Yeah.
Didn't it start, though, Disney. As kind of, it was just, I mean, it wasn't as serious at first.
No, no.
It? But it kind of turned into like a real gangster.
No.
Right?
Like, no.
I don't know much about it, but.
They try to keep that. I mean, it's good for the business or whatever, you know what I mean, kind of a thing, like they have those beefs and shit.
Yeah, but then people got killed, right?
No.
Oh, well, I mean,
that's Tupac and Biggie you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, not just people, like the...
But Tupac, the whole thing, like, he got robbed, like, mm-hmm. in New York at the studio where everybody was at. It was supposedly set up by Biggie and his people, and that's what started that whole thing. Yeah. So, and I really think it was just a fucking, like, dudes knew where the fuck they were. They knew they had a bunch of money. They fucking robbed fucking Tupac. They seen an opportunity. They fucking took it. And Tupac thought that he was set up. Mm-hmm. So then he went back to the fucking West Coast with all his fucking people out there and was like, we got to get these motherfuckers. And then it was a war.
Yeah, and that's when it turned, like, real.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, like, well, the Easy and Dre thing wasn't a real... Like, that was straight, like, to sell records.
Yeah, that's... I mean, that's the way I understood it, right?
Yeah, I think a lot, that had a lot to do with Suge Knight, too, though. Like, when he took over Death Row and fucking, like, was slapping everybody around, and Easy's a little guy, and he didn't want to get slapped around, so he was like, fuck you guys, mm-hmm. I'm out. And then Dre was like, well, I'm not out, because fucking Suge will slap me.
Yeah.
So you're a little bitch, and then Easy's like, no, you're a little bitch.
And now I mean there's that guy Drake that's been beefing with people. Drake is not a real rapper.
He's not even a rapper.
But
Canadian beef.
But
it's like Canadian bacon.
The reaction that I'm seeing online from people that we know, especially people that exclusively listen to you know metal. trying to fucking weigh in on Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem. People's reactions to it are super hilarious.
Oh, I love it.
Jared Criss from Esten Payne. Let's just go ahead and say it. Like, Jared Criss, the singer from Esten Payne.
Who's dead wrong about Machine Gun Kelly because it was catchy, right? Like, he liked Machine Gun Kelly.
He liked it because he had the funny lines, dude. Like, he had funny lines.
But he was eating cereal the whole time.
The whole time.
Like, look at him.
I'm so nonchalant about beefing with you right now. Like, I'm gonna murder you while I'm eating a bowl of cereal because you ain't shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a joke, and like, I've said it plenty of times. Like you fucking auto-tuned a beef track, dude. Like, auto-tuning a beef track is like putting ketchup on a filet. It is unnecessary and fucking stupid.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it, dude. Like, who fucking auto-tune? Who edits a fucking beef track? It's a beef track, dude.
I'm sorry, but the filet analogy, I guess it depends on where you buy the meat and who cooked it.
Then no.
Because I've had a filet that was not good, and
Was it overcooked?
If I had ketchup, I'd put on... What I'm just saying is...
Because it was dry,
source,
though, right?
What I'm saying is the source material. Is Machine Gun Kelly good? I don't
know. No, his filet is not good.
I don't know. I've never
heard of it. Bad. That's...
I remember he caused a riot at a mall once. That's all I know about
him. He came out like the year of the fast white rapper.
Yeah.
Right? And there was quite a few of them dudes. And he's just really good at rapping fast and shit. Is he fucking anything, like, super great? No, I mean, I love the kid because he's from Cleveland. That's awesome. Sure. He's also from Tennessee, just before he was from Cleveland. But, but yeah, he's cool. Like, cool, I get it. Cool, you're cool. But he auto-tunes a bunch of shit and does, like, the whole Drake-y kind of fucking hooks. And I don't like that shit. As to where M don't. So, you know, I'm more of an M fan. Do I like Killshot more than fucking Rap Devil? Because I like M more than MGK. No.
Stand, son, listen, man, dad isn't mad, but how you gonna name yourself after a damn gun and have a man bun? Giant smoke, eyes open, undeniable, supplying smoke, got the fire stoke. Say you got me in a scope, but you grazed me. I say one call it in a scope and you swayzy. Your reply got the crowd yelling, woo. So before you die, let's see who can out-petty who with your corny lines.
Slim your old
Al Kelly, ooh, but I'm 45 and I'm still outselling you. By 29, I had 3 albums that it blew. Now let's talk about something I don't really do. Going with someone's daughter's mouth, stealing food. But you're a fucking molehill, now I'ma make a mountain out of you.
Killshot was just a better fucking song. It was a better tune. It was better. It was better. And Jared Criss will tell you in very long paragraphs. Like, will take multiple minutes out of his day to write lengthy messages and comments on Facebook to tell you how wrong you are about MGK's fucking Rap Devil. And the Rap Devil's the greatest fucking beef track he's ever heard. Bro, I'm just saying, like, I'm the dude who was there every week for the rap battles in Akron when fucking 8 Mile came out and it was the popular thing to do and fucking dudes from Cleveland were coming over to our fucking club to fucking battle jazz. Dudes from Detroit were coming to Ohio to battle jazz. Like, I was there for all that shit, dudes. I'm pretty hip to beef tracks. I'm considering every week was beef with like fucking a dozen rappers and shit. Killshot was a better tune.
No, I plus we grew up in that time, or you know what I mean. Like, I was really into rap back in them days. K Town.
We're from Kenmore, dude.
K Town.
I just think that
Southwest.
I just think they're so like I watch a lot of pro wrestling, and that's the way that I always compare it. I'm like, it's like watching two guys come wrestling promos on each other,
exactly.
And as a fan of just beef in general, like, you're allowed to be like, oh shit, you said that, oh shit, he said that.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like super fun to see it because. Right. Because for like a long, I mean, for a long time, it seems like a lot of hip hop, especially in the mainstream and stuff, is Drake. It's like safe, fucking shit.
You can tell. Well, I'm just saying with the MGK, you can tell he been working on that for a while.
Oh yeah, he was waiting.
I'm saying he waited, but it's like he put a lot of time and a lot of effort in like the production of it.
Made a music video.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, and I think the M thing, just like he can just shit.
Yeah, I feel like he basically walked into a mic booth and spit that out of his face.
Yeah, like on a freestyling, you honestly think that MGK is gonna. Touch Eminem.
Have you ever seen Drake try to freestyle live when he's doing like radio shit?
Oh my god.
It's the worst fucking thing you'll ever hear in your life. It is goddamn awful. It's funny to watch, but it's the worst. It's the worst. Those guys can't do that. Those guys can't do that shit.
No.
And like, you know, MGK taking his time and unloading on M with the whole fucking rap devil shit. You, like, that was your. Like, you admired that dude your entire life. Mm-hmm. You modeled yourself in a way because of Eminem, and like he was everything to you. You had years, 10 years, to write shit because the dude was gone, and to think about shit. Like, he was always on your radar since you were a kid.
Yeah.
You were not on his until you started running your mouth so much. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not like M has been waiting to fucking trash you. But you've definitely been waiting for one opportunity or the other, be it positive or negative, to work with Eminem your entire fucking career. So it, you know, that's
because the argument there's the argument that he mentioned a lot of stuff that Eminem put in his track against him. Like, so it was like he wrote that shit overnight. But I was like, he spent all night, like he couldn't sleep. He heard his name being dissed, because what happened was, a lot of people don't know. Was years ago, he went up on Twitter, Machine Gun Kelly did, and he said that Eminem's daughter was hot as fuck.
She was like 16 at the time, and he was like 21, Eminem, 20 or 21.
Eminem has his own like radio station or whatever, didn't let Machine Gun Kelly on.
Sway 4-5.
Yeah, he's like, he's not coming on my thing, and Machine Gun Kelly was like, oh, I'm offended, that hurts my feelings. Yeah. As soon as Eminem said something about it, he was like, oh, I can't sleep now. Yeah, somebody get me a beat. I'm gonna sweat. Like, I bet he was sweating, just like, oh my god, I can't wait to fucking get this out.
It had like two of his boys sitting there.
It's probably had ghostwriters,
like,
sure.
Just help, not only helping him out, but cheering him on.
Yeah, like, oh, you're
like, bro, what do you think about this line, real quick?
He's got that song Rap God, which is good. You're gonna do Rap Devil, which is not.
He had a couple of solid lines, and even M said that shit.
He had a couple funny things.
Did you listen to the interview with M and Sway?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And he talks about, like, he was like, I don't even fucking know who this dude is. Like, he's nothing. And I don't know that if I want to respond, because I'm going to fucking make him huge. And he's not huge. Yeah. He's a fucking nobody. But I'm about to make him a somebody. And I don't know if I want to do that. And then he turned around and did it, like, a week later.
Well, you can tell he's a big fanboy, because that's the biggest form of flattery, basically, you know.
With MGK?
Yeah. But he did.
And he did do the whole fucking, like, I'm going to insult you, but then tell you how good you are. Yeah. I'm going to insult you and then tell you how good you are. That was fucking... Yeah. That's kind of like, right, like, you cheat on your girl, and then your girl decides to get back at you by blowing you better than the other girl. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna show him.
Yeah.
So you still blew me.
Right, exactly. And that's what you did, the whole Rap Devil thing. Like, you were like dissing him and blowing him at the same time.
I like the Rap Devil track, but it's just like, but you want, what do you want? Okay, fine, I liked it, but dude, I mean, you gotta think, like, who in the hell does that? Whoever goes after Eminem. Nobody.
Nobody.
Why? There's a good fucking reason why.
He ended boy bands. He killed Nu Metal. Like, he killed off Limp Bizkit. As soon as he called them Limp Bizkit bastards in a song, like, people that, like me, was just like, man, fuck Limp Bizkit, right? Because this guy over here.
Yeah, he.
The only people he hasn't ended are the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't, because they have their own crowd. Yeah. You're never going to turn 100,000 people against them. It's never going to happen.
How do you feel about working that show, man?
What show?
They're coming to the Outpost. How do you feel about that?
October 9th at the Outpost.
What is going to happen that night?
49-62, stay around 43, Kent, Ohio.
I almost don't want to go to it. Like, I'm an old school Juggalo kid.
October 9th, tickets are $35, 40-day of show.
Hey, do they still do the Faygo thing?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Who's going to clean all that up?
Okay, well, I mean, that was the first thing I said. I said, you guys realize our stage is carpeted, right? Like, do you know the cleaning bill is going to be fucking retarded? And they're like, oh, Grant will clean it. Grant's going to clean it up. And I was like, for a grand? I'll clean it up for a grand, dude. You give me $1,000 and I'll stay after and I'll fucking clean up Faygo all goddamn night. But
I've been to one ICP show and those Faygo bottles, they spray pretty high. I mean, it's going to be on everything.
Me and Eagle met at an ICP show. That was the first night we've ever met, was at an ICP show. He was there with a girl named Mary who had really gorgeous tits. Like, perfect. Those things were perfect. And she showed them to me all night long. All night. Because they were standing directly in front of me.
Oh, Mary Tits McGee.
Exactly. Mary Tits McGee. That's fucking sweet. So, Eagle's right in front of me. Like, and the
front row of the whole show.
Literally the whole set, dude. Jay and Shaggy were fucking taking turns. They would go and get 2 liters of Faygo while they're rapping, dude, and come over and
just dump them on Grant.
On me!
Just
nobody else! No other security guys, dude. Like, literally just standing over me while they're rapping, dumping 2 liters on me, right? And while one is dumping, the other one's going to get another 2 liter. And then he would come back and dump another fucking 2 liter. And I, no shit, stood there like this.
Fingers crossed. Just fuck.
And every now and then I would look back, and that's how I know they were taking turns. Because it would be one or the other dumping Faygo on me all fucking night long.
Wow.
So much Faygo that my feet squished when I walked after the show and shit. Like, I had to put plastic garbage bags all in the car to fucking drive home from Cleveland that night. Like, I was literally, I dunked in Faygo. It's going
to
happen.
Yeah, but I mean, you think there's going to be any precautions taken to minimize the Faygo damage?
We have to wrap everything. We have to wrap all the lights. We have to wrap the monitors. We have to wrap everything. Everything is going to have to be fucking Faygo protected, right? And then how long is that going to last? Yeah. How long is the plastic going to stay on the monitors? How long is the plastic going to stay on the lights when you have people that are fucking stage diving and crowd surfing, dude? They're going to be grabbing the fucking girder. They're going to be fucking on the stage hitting the fucking monitors and shit. Like, do you really think this is going to go well? As far as that shit goes, it's not. This is going to be a crazy fucking show. And I seen, there was a Juggalo today that I ran into at Walmart this morning. And he kind of reassured me a bit about Juggalos because he's more along your line of Juggalo.
Okay.
And the Muron Twins line of Juggalo, as to where he was nice and respectful. He was a nice guy.
A good human being.
His name's Steve, and he's from out in the Ravenna, Kent area. But I ran into him, and he had an ICP shirt on and fucking Hatchet Man tattoos and shit. And I was like, hey, October 9th at the Outpost, you see that? And he goes, oh, fuck yeah. Oh, I'm there, dude. Oh, I'm fucking there. And I was like, a lot of people are fucking complaining about the price, which is also awesome for me. Because the $35 ticket price for this show, a lot of people are fucking shitty about it. And to me, those are the lower-end Juggalos that I don't want to deal with, really. So I'm kind of hoping those are the ones that aren't coming. Like, because you don't have...
Well,
you
can't afford $35, motherfucker!
They're not going to make a tent city out back or something and turn it into, like, a festival in the backyard and get off, you know...
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen because it's a family.
Yeah, you don't know.
It's a family. Yeah. This is a whole different crowd, dude.
Yeah.
And, like, the risk of shit happening, right? Like, for security... is fucking stupid because Juggalos hate cops, they hate authority figures, and they don't like being told what to do.
Right.
Those are all things that are gonna be fucking going on. Like, that's my job. Like, I'm gonna have to, you know, so. It's not like a metal show or a hardcore show or even like any other hip hop show as to where, like, if security has to really get into an altercation, that you might have to fight 5 or 6 dudes. Okay? At an ICP show, you are literally dealing with an entire room full of people who believe they're family. Do you know what I mean? So that 5 or 6 can go to 20 real fucking quick and make it real difficult for a couple guys that are working.
You're definitely going to have to pick your battles.
There's not going to be none. I really don't think there's going to be... No. I don't think there's going to be any battles unless it's... like really directed at us. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think there's going to be any like infighting with the crowd. I think everybody pretty much is going to be cool as far as that goes. It's going to be like, I don't know, people trying to fuck people, or
literally,
or just drugs, underage drinking, stupid shit like that. So like, I think the dumb shit is going to escalate to where like, if I have to throw somebody out for underage drinking, that fucking there's going to be a lot of whoop whoops going on, and you know.
I kind of want
to
go to
I'm excited for the show because I like ICP. Like, they're fucking hilarious to me. Mm-hmm. Right? You know what I mean? And me and Big Joe used to listen to them all the fucking time. That's all we listened to when we fucking were down in Texas.
Yeah.
Like, when Joe lived down in Texas and I went down to help him move back up here, I was down there for almost a month. We literally didn't fucking take that shit out of the fucking CD player. Like, we listened to ICP all the fucking time because it's hilarious and shit, man. But the show that I worked, that I met Eagle at, like, the fucking fans... There was a large group of them that weren't cool. They were not cool. Mm-hmm. They sucked.
And those kind of fans escalated a lot over the years.
The years, and that's what everybody's telling me.
It was I remember it was like dudes in local bands and shit that I would see there. Like it was metal. There was metalheads and shit, and they were all in on the joke. They're like, they're rappers dressed up like clowns. It's fucking hilarious. They pour pop.
They talk about fat chicks with big titties and chopping people up with hatchets and shit. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and then after a while, like it became this weird scene where, you know, motherfuckers are like, they're literally carrying hatchets into the fucking place, and you're like, what are you fucking doing?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, we have to do pat downs for this show. There's no re-entry for this show for anybody. I don't give a fuck if you're 21 or not. Like, if you're in, you're in.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is. And we have to do it that way.
Yeah,
a lot of people are going to be sad about that. But
local band Metal Mafia is opening up.
Now,
we've talked about Metal Mafia before. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this band Metal Mafia.
Metal Mafia?
No, I've never.
They're very much.
I want to bring up their video.
In the realm of Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they have a gimmick. Like a carnival theme almost. Like they have a whole music video where they're at a carnival and shit. I saw Metal Mafia with Head PE.
Oh, okay.
And Head PE even like Metal Mafia so much that like every time they come back now they get Metal Mafia on there because they have a nice little fan base and shit.
They have a good fan base, dude, and they have a really good set. Like as far as a band goes, and I don't care if you like Metal Mafia or not, they are one of the hardest working bands out here, dude. Those fucking guys put together a really good fucking set. Mm-hmm. They throw down every time they fucking play live. I've literally watched them almost fist fight each other before they got on stage, played like there was nothing wrong, got off and went, everybody went their set separate ways. Mm-hmm. It, like, these guys are fucking, they're a legit band. You might just not be into their genre, but we've talked about how, like,
kind of like rap, rappy.
It's metal, but it's rap metal.
Pairing them with ICP or getting them in front of an ICP crowd, we've talked about it on the show before.
First thing I said after seeing them, I think if they opened up for Insane Clown Posse,
it would be insane.
Fucking done.
Like, they're going to have so many new fans at this show because they're literally going to play in front of a sold-out crowd.
Yeah, good.
There's two fucking acts that night, Metal Mafia and Insane Clown Posse. They're going to play in front of every single fucking one of them people, and they're going to crush it. They're going to kill it. They're going to kill it. They're finally playing, like, they're playing the show that they should be playing.
Yeah, I feel like they've been practicing for years and years
for this show.
It sounds like they don't have too many bands that really fit with them to play.
Yeah, right.
Like, where it's death metal, there's 1,000 death metal bands we can play.
Yeah, you're not going to put Ton on that bill. Ton is the Insane. Yeah. Even though one time when Reverend Jim from Cold Hand of Christ, when he was working at the Agora, ICP played a show at the Agora and they needed a slot. And so Jim was like, we'll get Cold Hand of Christ to open up for the Insane Clown Posse. I never seen so much shit get thrown at a fucking band. Like,
oh, wow.
It did not go over. And then afterwards, Jim found the, like, one dude that was constantly heckling him, fucking threw him straight the fuck out there and let him see ICP. He's like, fuck that guy. I was like, that is gangster.
I want to see somebody...
Shows or movies.
Yeah,
he did an episode of Shameless.
He was on Shameless.
How did I miss that?
Blackish. You missed Reverend Jim getting butt fucked by some dude on Shameless. That's insane to me.
What season?
The latest season.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I was like, that looks just like Reverend Jim. Didn't realize it's him.
Yeah. He's got some secret project now that he's doing with Marvel.
Really?
Possible voiceover shit. He won't tell me anything.
Why don't I think legally he can't?
Yeah, he probably.
Well, he was doing announcing for the roller derby.
Yes, that's the last time I saw him.
Yeah,
he does voiceover work for this podcast too.
Like, oh, is that him?
That's in the beginning. Yes.
Yeah, I just found that out too. Yeah, well, that's good stuff.
I would like to see somebody stop. Him from throwing somebody out of a club. You know what I mean? Like, Jim is such a goddamn giant. of
I remember he was he was a big memory staple for me going up to Peabody's. I always remembered him just because he was such a, I mean, he's a he's like a unit, you know, an absolute unit, or what do they call that? And I remember because he had the cool, like, Claypool glasses all the time, sunglasses, and then so you have him, I'm like, I know that guy. And then he was at the door all the time, and super nice guy. So, yeah, I'm totally, that's great. He's doing good. About a couple years ago, I thought they were making a huge comeback, Cold Hand of Christ, because I remember seeing them years ago, and I enjoyed watching them, I did, and they were a fun band, and then it was like recently I was driving, and I saw a Cold Hand of Christ sticker on someone's car, and I'm like, holy shit, Cold Hand of Christ, like, I didn't know they were coming, and then I saw another one. Turns out they were Mally's Chocolate.
The CHOC.
Yeah.
Every time I see those, that's how I'm like, Cold Hand of Christ.
I, honest to God, thought it was Cold Hand of Christ. Because, you know, people have, like, HI awesome. For Hatteras Island and all this stuff, and I'm like, CHO. That's got to be Cold Hand of Christ. What else could that possibly be?
Couldn't be chocolate.
Yeah, there's probably, like, 12 people that thought that.
I'm a fat kid, so it was always chocolate to me. It was chocolate.
There's a few other shows we should talk about real quick before we end up going. Coming up, not only September 29th, Bastard Hooker, Waste of White, The Party, October 19th, up at Annabelle's, our favorite place again, Persistent Aggressor is going to be playing. And they got members, I have a list here, of Axioma, Six Kills Nine, which we were talking about, Deathcrawl, Night In, Abstraction, Don Austin. Fucking remember Don Austin.
I got to see their last show when what's his name broke his fucking neck.
Be clear that we're talking about members of these bands. Yeah, members of the actual bands.
These bands aren't.
Don Austin's not
Persistent
playing.
Persistent Aggressor has members of all these bands.
Yeah.
The Unholy Three, Splinter, and a dozen more easily. Goost is playing. Super Corruptor's playing. It's gonna be a benefit show where they're gonna have raffles from Square Records, Red Tail Tattoo, Arkham Tattoo. How do you pronounce this? Hausfrau? Hausfrau Records.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know.
Hausfrau Records.
That's what's it. Hausfrau?
Yeah, Hausfrau.
Hausfrau.
Yeah. Hausfrau. Earthquakers. Earthquaker Devices. All that shit.
Yeah, it's a benefit show. Gargus. Larry Gargus. Who was the singer for Don Austin back in the day.
Is that a guy who broke his neck?
Yes.
Holy shit, I saw that.
I was at that show, and I left halfway through the last song right before he fucking jumped off the stage, and nobody caught him, and he literally broke his neck, ended up in the hospital with a halo and shit, like, yeah, almost fucking died.
Ambulance came, and they had to stretch
him. All bad, like, he totally fucking broke his neck. So he teaches...
Snauzer played that shit.
He teaches preschool to like, special kids and shit. Uh-huh. Like, and there's... One of the, like, all the teachers have, like, aides, okay, and the aides don't really get paid a whole lot. So, but I guess they don't get paid a whole lot of money, and I guess they don't get paid at all over the summer, and this girl, Buffy, I guess works really hard and does a lot of work with these kids up there in Cleveland, and her daughter, who is a special needs kid, fell and had, like, a severe head injury, and they didn't catch it the first time when they went to the hospital, and I guess she has like a cerebral hemorrhage going on, and they didn't know like what they're gonna have to do as far as that goes. So there's a lot of medical bills that are gonna be mounting for this girl, and like those the assistants don't get medical insurance. Yeah, you know what I mean? They don't have shit. So that's what this benefit show is for. It's for this little girl who got injured. A little special needs girl.
Yeah, it's a benefit for Shelby Ames is her name. And it's a benefit for her. There's a ton of, I mean, dude, fucking, like, so many people are contributing to the show. It's a free show too. So, like, you come out, fucking buy some raffle tickets, get some cool shit from, get some tattoos, get some Earthquaker devices. I'll be there. I'll be there for sure.
If you don't want to do any of that, just donate some cash. Come out to the show and hang out and just throw down some cash.
Good cause.
Yeah, we'll put up a link on our Facebook page, and then October 20th, There's a band called Hate Theory that's playing.
At my favorite venue, since I don't know when Annabelle's became our favorite venue and shit. Like I keep getting put into shit. Our favorite venue. It's one of my favorite venues. I love Annabelle's, dude.
It's mine and Jesse's favorite.
The Outpost.
Yeah, yeah. So take it.
The Outpost is my favorite venue. I work there. That's my home base. Shit. All
right. Sure.
So yeah, Esten Payne, Skinny Tree. Fucking Kitchen Knife Conspiracy.
Oh, yeah!
No kidding. I'd like to see them again.
It's Sweaty Mammoth.
Yeah, are they on it too?
Sweaty Mammoth. That's right. Yeah, that's right. I kicked it with those dudes at Blackout Cookout with Nate and Bob.
They were definitely there.
We kicked it.
I have a... Can I ask a question real quick before we end this? You can edit this out, but... So you were just saying all the bands that they were in, all the different members were in all these different bands. Do you remember the band, and I don't know who it was... Back at when it was Ron's Crossroads still, and they advertised it as like, you know, this whatever Saturday, and it was Coal Chamber and Seven Dust.
Oh my God! Yes, they made it. Really, it was Lower GI.
It was Lower GI. Who was there? They're on that compilation.
That compilation. Yeah, it was Lower GI. That was.
It sold out, and there was like a shit ton of people there. Or
I can't. I think they caught it beforehand. I don't think it ended up being like that, but it was advertised as if Coal Chamber was playing, Korn like was playing,
they were getting
and
phone
shit.
Calls, yeah, saying like, "Hey, like, really? All these bands are playing? All these like big Ozfest bands are all playing at Ron's Crossroads?" And what it was someone from Lower GI put the Scene magazine or whatever that was called, where you could put
It was the Scene back then.
So you could call in your own and write in your own advertisements, and they basically advertise it as if it were.
And I don't know who did that. I don't know if it was BJ or Brett.
That's some marketing.
Do
you remember? Wasn't Brett in the video, the NDE video that you were in? Brett the one you ran into coming out the door? Right. That's what I thought. I seen that video the other day when it got posted on Facebook, and I was like, "That's fucking Brett."
Whatever happened to him? I haven't seen him in a long time.
Him and his wife came out to a show a couple years ago at the Outpost, and it was super awesome to see him. Like they have kids, and they never get out and shit.
Remember that big billboard above Ron's Crossroads Voodoo?
Yes.
I watched him climb up on that.
It was quite a few people used to do that. That was the night they backed the van up.
That's right.
And got up on the van. Damn, I remember all that shit. Yeah, the Lord's Yeah guys did that though. That shit was funny.
They were funny. I think they played a show once where they covered themselves in mud. They brought mud or clay and they put their whole bodies and went and played. And by the end, they were all dry and peeling. Do you remember that?
I don't know.
Maybe that was a dream.
No, it might have been.
You dreamed of a bunch of dudes smearing mud on themselves. it sunk in.
Anyway.
I don't understand why the mud was hard. I get it.
We'll be talking more about those shows. Closer to the show.
Exhumed is coming up at the Outpost. Exhumed is playing at the Outpost. There's all kinds of good shit coming up. October at the Outpost is looking fucking hefty.
Yeah.
Hefty.
That's if it survives the Insane Clown Posse shit.
Yeah. How's it not gonna?
Might be on fire and shit.
How's it not gonna?
Well, there's plenty of Faygo to put it out, right?
What do you foresee the biggest problem being for me and my fellows?
Juggalos. Juggalos. Well, the answer is Juggalos.
Thank you. A lot of younger dudes today talk about the music scene, Unite the Music Scene, all this other shit, blah, 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 and, you know, how to be, and this is what you should do, this is what you should do. Do you guys, as veterans of death metal and metal in general, do you have any advice for these little hippies?
What's the Unite? I don't get that. What does that mean? What do they mean
unite the music scene?
Yeah, what
they're uniting
by
the scene.
Like how?
I think mostly against Mushroomhead, I guess. I don't know. But there was a big unite.
That's
the
a big thing. That's a big thing nowadays.
But,
Because I think they're trying to make it to where, you know, every, like how we used to have it back in the day where bands would always come out to shows.
Yeah.
Everybody came out to shows.
Support each
and
other, you mean?
Yes. Exactly. That's what they mean by unite the scene. Yes. You have any advice for young musicians today?
I don't know. I think it has to be something that you, like a desire for you to want to do. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, because I mean, I haven't been in bands. I haven't been in a band in like 2.5 years, and I've been to more shows than I've ever been when I was in a band.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Just to support the
what?
People, but.
So basically, if you're not doing nothing, just go to a show.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, I'm just saying, but I mean, I do that just because out of, I don't know, since I've been doing it for a while, it just, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't have to like the band. I don't have to, you know, or anything. I just kind of do it out of respect for the music itself. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because I know, especially, like, you know, band, I know how it is being in a band. You have no fucking money, and you don't really get paid, and all that shit. So, you know, that's why, like, I'm a fucking merch whore. You know what I mean? I buy so much fucking merch.
You
just,
totally do.
Just to support the bands. Like, half the fucking shit I don't even wear. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I do it just because, I think, I don't know, it's an ethical thing, as far as I'm concerned. You know, just, like, so I don't know. Just be more, being so fucking selfish.
Be morally and ethically responsible when it comes to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want shit like that to continue and even have any kind of music scene, that you have to do shit like that.
Yeah.
Well, I like what he says is selfish, because it's hard for me to say this stuff because I am terrible at that. I never support shit. And it's because I'm selfish, because I just want to do my thing. And then fuck everybody else. So, so don't, you know, don't be like me. But also, just little stuff helps. Like, when we're in a band, I never went to a show, and I never thought, like, every band has to stay and watch us, and if there wasn't that many people, to get mad. And because we just kind of, I just accepted it. It's like, enjoy it. Enjoy the shows you play. Enjoy the people that are there. You said a good story about the Resin Dogs, how it was a really bad storm, and you and your buddy went, and you were the only ones there, and they were just like, awesome, let's do a show.
Yeah.
Just for two guys, and that's how I was always. If there was one person, two people there, and the other bands, I didn't care. It was fun for me, and I enjoyed it, and I made sure they enjoyed it. And then as a fan or a stuff, you know, just buy a CD, buy a shirt, and then take the 2 fucking minutes to watch a video that someone posts or a song that someone posts, because it's so, everything's so right now and quick, and look at my Facebook and check out this new song. You know how many times I've, hey, check out this new song, and I'll be like, oh, cool, I'll listen to that later. I never listen to it. And so lately I try to be like, well, hold on, take 5 minutes, listen to it, and then at least I'll know if I like it or not or something. So just take an extra couple minutes a day to see what's going on and look at shows. But when it comes to saying and begging people, I was never a big fan, you know,
right.
Support the local metal scene. I never said that because I never did it. Because, you know what I mean? To me, it's just like, I got shit to do. I got other stuff to do. And I'm not going to go to a show that's out of my way for some bands that I don't know just for the sake of supporting a scene.
Yeah.
So it's hard to make that decision to do.
Well, I think these guys are younger.
Yeah, well, not so, no, I know. Yeah, so but
they have a lot of free time.
So what I'm saying is,
This is probably the best advice I've ever heard.
Well, I say just don't be like me. Like, just take, even if you don't have to commit yourself to say, I got to go to every show you see. Just pick one that you look at 4 shows and say, I want to go to all 4 of those shows. But pick one and just go to it. And
buy some shit.
Yeah, even if you go and just show your support. Even if it's a comment on Facebook and say, hey, guys, you guys are fucking sick, but I can't make it. Even that goes a long way in a local band.
I would dare say if there's one real positive to take from that, to actually be like Jesse with this, is don't get pissed off when somebody doesn't stick around.
Yeah,
Because I'm going to be an old guy here. That's the problem with social media nowadays, is motherfuckers will get up on their fucking Facebook or their Instagrams or their Twitters or whatever, and they'll automatically bash, like, oh, you know, such and such said they were going to come, but once again, didn't come. And you can't fucking put that kind of negativity out there where you're like, well, that band fucking sucks because they all just left as soon as they put. Maybe they had to go to work. Maybe they had fucking kids.
Maybe they had another show.
Don't take it personal.
Nothing personal at all. And like I said, I don't do it because I personally like a band or you know what I mean? I just do it because I don't know. I'm not doing anything. You know,
I go to shows all the time with the intent of, like, I'm going to end up missing the headliner. Like, I'll see people that I'm friends with. Like, hey, what's up? I'm dipping at 11, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I got shit I got
to
do.
When it comes down to it, nobody should care that much. It's just, like I said, when people come, hey, man, when we play early shows, hey, we missed you. I'm like, that's cool, man. We'll play
again. The whole thing is ego. It boils down to ego. People in bands have fucking egos. Huh? Shut that shit down. Like, you know, you think I don't have a fucking ego? No. I don't give a fuck. Right? It's like, you know, I never got pissed because someone came or didn't come or because I don't fucking care. I'm not doing it for that. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, cool. It's obviously like, hey, people make you show up, cool. Hey, you don't show up, cool. I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not doing this for anything.
But the energy thing, you know, it's always good to have more people, and obviously.
But I support all kinds of musicians. I mean, I fucking buy mixtapes off of fucking, I don't even listen to them. Like, there'll be someone in front of the fucking dollar store, some kid, you know, with, hey, man, want to buy my mixtape? I'm like, yeah, man, fine. I was like, how much? You know, and he's like, just, you know, a donation. I'll fucking, like, throw him a five or whatever. I'm like, well, I asked him, I'm like, well, how many tracks are on it? You know what I mean? And then I'll figure out what's a good amount to give him. But, dude, I do that all the time. You know what I mean? Just, like.
But then the other thing, too.
Pay it forward. Yeah. Is all, you know what I'm saying? That's just a good fucking way to go. Yeah. That's how I operate, and it's worked out well for me.
But I think we're all in the same boat where we kind of saw the change of the internet and the things. Like, when back in the day, we didn't have Facebook or to just immediately tell everybody about a show and all stuff. So it was more work to
you had trade. To actually drive to shows.
Yeah, and
you
send had to flyers talk to and talk to people and go to different places and go to record exchange and make sure people knew you were going. Call people. There's actually that little thing that everyone has in the little computer that does everything. And actually, you can actually call people on it. And we had to do that before it existed and talk to people like in person instead of text messaging. And so I think a lot, it was stronger back then.
Well, think about that.
Yeah, and so then I've seen it change where it's just like, especially the amount of bands and the amount of things that are available now that you have access to. Mm-hmm. It's like I could literally fart into a microphone, record it, start a fucking Facebook thing, pay people to be my friends, and then post a show on Facebook and make an event, and like 1,000 people would show up for a guy farting in a microphone. But it's not going to happen because there's
so many.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's so easy to just do all the backstage stuff, and I'm overwhelmed with that. But then when it comes to buying stuff, I actually was kind of upset, and I'm going to call them out here on this show. They played at the Blackout Cookout actual form. That band is fucking incredible.
So first time I've seen them live, dude, and I was like blown the fuck away. Because Bobby's told me about like how much he likes them and shit, and I seen them, I was just like, Jesus Christ, dude, these fucking.
But I'm mad at him.
because
I went over to their fucking merch table to get a CD, and they had fucking cassette tapes. Yeah. And I was like, you hipster fucks. And I was like, I don't have a fucking tape player. I want to listen to your band, and I want to buy something from you. I ain't buying your tape.
There's a digital download in it.
God damn it!
the one dude from Actual Form was supposed to give me a cassette that night.
Yeah,
and didn't.
Yeah,
dude. Ian.
Obviously, I'm not.
It was Ian.
Yeah, Ian's like, hey man, you want to take? You did the same thing to me that night.
Thanks.
I found out the day after Blackout Cookout, I had to go to work up in Highland Square, and Brown's game was on, and I think his name is Matt Haas. Who's in the band? He's walking into Zubs, and I guess he works at Angel Falls.
Oh, nice.
And he's walking by, and I was just talking about Blackout Cookout, and I go, and that motherfucker right there just blew everybody out of the goddamn water. I was like, that dude's band was the band. Like, they were the show stealer.
Oh, yeah, they're my favorite.
A lot.
They were I didn't even have anything. Like, I was like, what do I go say to that dude?
Yeah.
I'd be like, I just hit you up a week ago about trying to book you something. Because I did. I hit them up. I was like, I want to book you guys for a show. And he was like, sure, sometime. I was like, good. I was like, good. I just put it out there. I have a podcast. We book shows sometimes. I want you guys on it.
Verbal agreement.
Just let it be known. You're committed now. You're now in. Yeah, those motherfuckers.
So, okay, well, that answers my question. If you're going to have a tape, have a digital download, then Jesse won't be mad at you.
Yeah, but then you actually have to come through with the tape.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ian.
All right, so
I said my 2 cents.
September 29th, Bastard Hooker.
Waste of Light.
Waste of Light and the party.
The party.
And then, so what's the time? Be there at 8 o'clock on the 29th? Is that when the door's open?
That's what we're shooting for. I would just say 9. I want the show to start at like 9:15, 9:30.
It's not gonna.
I'm gonna do my best.
It's not gonna.
I'm gonna have Richie talk to Billy at Annabelle's. And
I think we can get it done because we've had Fest there and they started it.
Long as you can find whoever's working the bar that night.
Billy fucking loves me.
Can you tell Billy?
I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Tell him
to listen to me and Billy are fucking tight. We've been tight for years.
Hit him up for the favor.
Him and his ex-wife, and I'm pretty sure I'm almost positive they got divorced. I don't want to be wrong about that. But him and his wife/ex-wife back in the day would come into the Voodoo, and they were two of my best customers, dude. She used to try to poach me from the Voodoo. She wanted me to come bartend at Annabelle's, dude. They fucking loved me. They loved me behind a bar. They loved me behind a bar and totally wanted me to come work for them. And so then, like, I didn't bartend after the Voodoo for like 3.5 years because I went 3 years, something like that. Went and did a couple other things, did the pizza shop with Josh and shit. And walked into fucking Annabelle's one night. Billy was in there. I fucking said, "What's up to TJ?" And Billy asked me what was going on and told him what was going on. And I had just lost my job. And he goes, "Hop behind the bar." I was like, "What?" And he goes, "Hop behind the bar, dude. It's right there." I'm like, bro, I haven't fucking bartended in years. Like, I'm not going to do that. I don't feel comfortable and shit. But yeah, like, even after, like, years of not talking to Billy and not seeing him and shit, the first thing the dude does when I tell him I don't have a job is he tries to give me a job.
Perfect. Have Grant fucking work the bar downstairs. You can start whenever you want.
I'm dude!
That's all you got to do.
We figured it out. Yep.
And then if Grant works there, it'll be his favorite place.
Yes!
Yep.
Then it can be our favorite club. Ours. Well, thank you guys so much for coming
thanks
out.
Again thanks for having us. This was a lot of fun, and that is as stressful as that last one because we felt like we had to hurry and stuff.
Yeah, dude, I drank like a half pint of whiskey on an empty stomach before that.
Ooh, shit.
At the show.
Yeah, when I got there, dude,
you're supposed to eat first.
Well, yeah, I didn't eat anything because I was like,
The food was fucking great, by the way.
Yeah, it was delish.
Oh, yeah.
All right, until next time, my name is Eagle.
Rubber City Redbeard.
Jesse Barrico.
Bob Clark.
Love you.
Cobb Clark.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.